You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic news episode of Ask Drone You. I'm here with the ever famous founder of Drone DJ, Mr. Hayek Costello. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, Paul, good morning. Thanks for having me again this week.
Oh, it's always fun, and we always talk about how much fun it is, but I don't think people realize really how much fun it truly is. So, very exciting news week, though. It looks like some new hints are coming out from Skydio while North Carolina continues to press forward in pushing the envelope of flight operations, which I think is actually a another one of those big macro indicators of where is the market going as a whole, because we have this huge issue. We have a coming to a head, two parallel tracks, Haya. We've got the track of Part 107 and people trying to operate drone delivery through that, and we have Part 135. And at some point, there's going to have to be a merging of the two, because you know how the FAA is with systems. But with that said, let's get into this week's first piece of drone news, which brings us back to the ever-growing competition in the drone industry as DJI struggles to, well, produce a drone that people want to fly now, which is weird. But Skydio continues to surge ahead. What do you have, Haya?
Yeah, it seems that Skydio is going to shape up possibly to become a real DJI competitor. I mean, at least we hope so. Skydio already made an announcement on their website that later this year in the fall season, they're going to come out with a new product. And if you remember, the original Skydio R1 was launched early in 2018, so that's almost coming up to 2 years now. Not quite, but we're getting there. They've announced a new drone that they're going to launch later this fall. And of course, the question is, what is it going to be? And Skydio has been very tight-lipped. As far as I understand, they assemble and produce most of the parts needed for their drone right here in the US. So they don't have that same issue as DJI has with an entire production line and all these other companies in China where you have information leaking. So Skydio up till now has been able to keep everything under a lid, basically, and keep all the information away from news outlets like Drone DJ. However, in their latest video clip, one of our readers pointed out that at some point you see the actual shade of the drone flying. And if you take a closer look at that shape of the drone, you can see that the design is now very different from the original Skydio R1. The original one had that outer metal ring, where I think it was 12 cameras that were positioned on the outside of the drone, presumably to help the drone calculate distances through triangulation relative to objects surrounding the aircraft. The new shape doesn't show an outer ring like that. If you look closely, it looks far more like a DJI Mavic 2, and I have one right here to show you. The difference is that the Mavic seems to have the arms slightly more on an angle versus the Skydio design. And also the design from Skydio seems to have arms that are much thicker and more solid, possibly because I would suspect that they mounted the cameras now perhaps on the outside of those arms. So it seems like they've done away with that outer metal ring, but possibly instead they've mounted those cameras on the outside of the arms. It's going to be interesting to see the final design once it is released, but so far this is all we have to go by. And yeah, it's definitely a different shape. They've said that they're going to look to compete head-on with DJI, the DJI Mavic 2, both in terms of price, size, and capability. So we're very excited to learn more about this drone coming this fall season.
You know, with this new design, Haya, it makes me wonder if they're also trying to build a very durable design, because it kind of looks like the same shape that you would see some of the Cinewhoop racers, those smaller FPV racers. Mm-hmm. And I think that that it's, you know, again, really interesting. I love the teases that they're giving us in the videos, though. I think it's actually extremely cool to try to figure out what's really going on. And it looks like Skydio launched another little leak to showcase that they may be scaling and growing their company in order to mass produce these drones. But before we get there, I think you brought up a really good point, Haya, and that is, you know, when 3DR made the Solo back in, I think it was like 14 or 15, they had, one of their biggest issues was getting the gimbal out from the Solo, meaning you could buy the Solo, but it took like 7-8 months to be able to get the gimbal for the drone. And that manufacturing issue really set them back so far, almost to the point where they can't even compete anymore. So now that, you know, 3DR is working with Unique, I think that goes to showcase that they really couldn't overcome their manufacturing dilemmas. And I think that Skydio is really making a smart move here in controlling not only the conversation around the drone, but also controlling who has access to the parts and whatnot. So I just have to say, I'm really, again, really excited. A lot of the indicators are showcasing that they're scaling up for something big. And frankly, it's really exciting. But what else did they leak, Haya, to showcase that they're scaling?
Well, the other thing that happened is that Skydio listed on their website quite a large number of job openings, actually. I mean, considering that Skydio is still a very young and relatively small company, especially when you compare it to somebody like DJI, but they listed a whole number of open jobs where people can apply for. Some of them have to do with autonomy. I mean, of course, we know that the Skydio R1 was famous for its self-flying capabilities. They have 4 engineering jobs open, so ranging for autonomy engineer, deep learning research engineer, planning control engineer, and a computer vision engineer. But they're also looking for people to help out with hardware and software development. And one job that was open, which I think would appeal to a lot of people, is the job of a flight tester, where you would actually go out into the field and fly these new products in real world circumstances. That's a part-time job. So, hey, if you're in the, Redwood area in California, and you're looking to get into the drone industry, but you don't want to become a commercial drone pilot yourself, then I would say check out Skydio's website, because they got a whole lot of jobs open for people there right now.
I think that is so cool. I mean, if I didn't have everything going on at DroneU, which is substantial, I would love to take that job on myself.
Ah, there you go. So we would be competing for that one then, possibly.
Well, I think it would be a fun competition, to say the least. So
yeah,
it really would. But it's really interesting, Haya, too, because as Skydio is continuing to hire more people, build up their teams, scale their systems, scale their teams, at the same time, in this next piece of drone news, it looks like DJI is actually almost out of stock of all of their drones? What is going on here, Haya?
A lot of them. Remember when we were in New York and you were able to buy the last DJI Phantom 4 advanced drone?
Literally the very last one produced that's not refurbished.
Exactly. Well, that was a sign. I mean, we already knew, of course, that the Phantom 4 Pro had been out of production for months now. But just the other day, I took the time to just go through their entire website and look at all the different products. And it's scary how many drones from DJI you can no longer buy directly from them. I mean, sure, you can go to Best Buy, you can go perhaps to Amazon or B&H, some of those retailers, and find still some leftover drones. But if you go back to the source and go to the official DJI store, a lot of the drones are out of stock. And I'm talking about pretty much all the Spark combinations. So regardless what color you pick or whether it's a combination package, they're all out of stock. The DJI Mavic Air, white, black, and red, all out of stock. You can only get the combinations still. But even the DJI Mavic 2 Pro, which is really their latest model, you can't get it anymore. The only way you can get the Mavic 2 Pro is when you buy it in combination with the DJI Smart Controller. So, of course, the Phantom 4 we already discussed. The Inspire 2 Professional and Premium, they're out of stock as well. So it makes you wonder, like, what the heck is going on? I mean, we haven't seen a new drone from DJI this year. The shopping season is just around the corner. You have all this stuff going on with tariffs right now between China and the U.S. You would imagine that DJI has some plan for the shopping season. And I hope we won't have to wait until next year before we see a new aircraft from them.
Well, I mean, I expect to see the Mavic Mini, as we discussed last week, and we also discussed just how important or what a strategic play it is by DJI to launch a drone that's below 250 grams or that registration threshold. But just remember, everyone, just because it doesn't meet the registration threshold, it does mean as recreational pilots, you still have to follow Section 349 of the FAA code in order to fly properly. Now, with that said, Haya, you know, the Mavic 2 Zoom is not out of stock. Mavic 2 Pro is out of stock. Do you believe that the Mavic 2 Pro being out of stock is foreshadowing the Mavic 2 Pro Plus or Pro Platinum, where they essentially sell the smart controller and the Mavic 2 Pro as a package?
Well, we've said before that when DJI announced that all their new drones as of January 2020, all their drones over 250 grams would have ADS-B receivers on board. And those are really tiny chips, by the way. We suspected that they would launch a new version of the DJI Mavic 2 early next year. However, for their main drone to be out of stock already in August 2019 seems to be a little bit early. So I don't know whether this is again related to their production issues, as we talked about for Defense 4 Pro, or whether they already ran out of stock because they're ramping up production for a new model. I mean, to me, it seems a little early for that to happen. But yeah, it's a good question. And it's one that we are not able to answer quite yet.
Yeah, it just means that this shopping season and next year could be action packed. And that's kind of exciting.
Yeah. It's very exciting. And a lot of people are looking to DJI to see what they're going to come out with next. And of course, the DJI Mavic Mini that we spoke about quite a bit gets a lot of attention right now. But also, I think a lot of people are anxious to see what DJI is going to come out with in terms of a more professional drone and whether that new drone is going to replace both the existing Mavic 2 Pro as well as the Phantom series. And yeah, I think early 2020 is when we'll know for sure.
Should be interesting for sure. That being said, it brings us to our next piece of drone news, which is probably a piece of news that I should not be I should not be the one hosting and saying this is what's going on. So that's because it's about DroneU partnering with Skywatch. So Haya, why don't you tell everyone what's going on? Because I don't want to fill the air with a bunch of biased excitement. As you know, I am very excited about this.
I can help you out there a little bit. I think DroneU, the flight mastery course, where you guys recently had one here in New York, which was really awesome. You guys partnered with Skywatch, an insurance company. And basically what it means is that people, when they graduate from the flight mastery course and they've proven their skills and their ability to fly drones safely, they get a 15% discount on an insurance policy from Skywatch, which I think makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think there's been companies in the car industry as well that they've tried to do something similar with. If you've proven to have a safe driving record, or if you drive less or more than your insurance quotes would reflect that, I think it makes a lot of sense to do the same thing when it comes to drone insurance policies. I mean, if you can show that you're a better skilled pilot and you have more knowledge when it comes to all the rules and regulations that are required for flying drones, why wouldn't you have to pay less? I mean, you're less of a risk for anything going wrong. So to see a reduction in your insurance rates, I think that makes a lot of sense. And to see you guys partner with Skywatch, I think is a very smart move.
Well, thank you, Haya. I do appreciate it. Just so everyone is aware, that Flight Mastery course, it is an in-person course, and it's also the same course required by the NTSB for their drone pilots to take as well. Now, with that said, one piece that I want to add to that, Haya, is that the educational discount is actually stackable. So let's say you go through a Flight Mastery class, you earn the educational rate for insurance, you can actually stack discounts on top of that. If you then fly through the Skywatch app, you can listen to, there's a video on the DroneU member website where you can actually see exactly what they're looking for while you fly to stack those discounts. And I have to say, Haya, it's just something that's really powerful for me since I started this company is the fact that I believe that training when done right is a true investment for any pilot. But now this takes the literal meaning of that so much further, because this is drone training that literally pays off itself in time. And for me, that's really exciting. But before, we don't need to talk about DroneU anymore. I'm glad that we actually probably did three dozen news shows before we ever talked about much about DroneU. So I'm excited about that. But in this next piece of drone news, it looks like North Carolina is once again pushing the envelope in drone services and what they're doing. What do you have for us, Haya?
Yeah, North Carolina has always been very active. I mean, it started with their hurricane damage and the use of drones. This is what, 2 or 3 years ago now. And they've also been a very active participant in the UAS integration pilot program that was launched by President Trump last year. Right now, Flytrex and Cossey Aviation Unmanned have received FAA approval to deliver food by drone in Holly Springs in North Carolina. So they've been allowed to make deliveries. Now, these are not beyond line of sight flights. So the pilot in control of the drone can still visually see the actual aircraft. Also, it's a predetermined route. So this is not from one central location to, let's say, homeowners spread out throughout a city or a urban area. This is a predetermined route from point A to point B within line of sight. But still, to get a FAA approval to fly commercially like this is yet another step in drone applications being used commercially throughout the US. So in that sense, it's an important part of news. And of course, the fact that it's happening in North Carolina is kind of cool because that's one of the states that has been at the forefront of drone applications.
You know, it is really interesting, Hayek, about North Carolina. I was talking to Drone Gandhi recently about North Carolina. And as you know, I haven't really been a big proponent of the North Carolina, well, their whole drone program, just because they literally, you know, went against a lot of the memorandum of the FAA about what states can control. But when talking to Drone Gandhi about that, he was like, have you ever considered that maybe even though they started a program that the FAA blatantly said don't start, have you ever thought about maybe that program actually pushed them to create better systems and better structure to allow for services like this? So he's trying to say that, you know, the FAA says you're not supposed to have like a driver's license for drone by state, right? Mm-hmm. This is a federal airspace. And, you know, North Carolina does have that test for you to fly drones. It could actually be, you know, now that the FAA is coming out with the recreational test, maybe North Carolina was showing the FAA what should be done. But I think it's interesting because you're right. They do continue to push the envelope when it comes to drones. And they're getting some great data that we need to further understand what is the right way to operate certain drones. So it is exciting. Good job, North Carolina, and good job, Flytrex. I think it's really cool. What is interesting, though, Haya, is the autonomous flight routes. Are those flying over certain areas? In addition, it looks like they're only approved for this one city.
Yeah. The way it's phrased is that they say that per the approved proposal, Flytrex drones will operate along one predetermined delivery route connecting a distribution center at Holly Springs Town Center, which is a shopping destination, with a single delivery point, which is Sting Park, a nearby outdoor sports and recreation hub. So it's a short distance. It's mostly over unpopulated areas, and it's from A to B. So it's not a setup where you have one delivery, or how do you say that, one location from which you make all the deliveries, but then you go out to all these different households. So this is much easier to control, much easier to run as a test program, I would imagine.
Yeah, really interesting, kind of exciting too. In this next piece of drone news, it looks like Impossible Aerospace is finding some new clients in California. What's going on here?
Yeah, this is the San Pablo Police Department. They're getting three US-1 drones from Impossible Aerospace. And if you may remember, Spencer Gore used to be a battery technician or battery engineer for Tesla, and he went out on his own and started Impossible Aerospace. And they've made a drone that, if you look at how it's designed, it's really a whole set of batteries bundled together in the shape of a quadcopter, and then they made it able to fly. So it's very much a battery-centric design approach rather than a featured, a drone aircraft where it started with the features and you just need the battery to power the aircraft. I mean, this was a design focus on how much battery power can we possibly cram into the aircraft. And they went even as far to make the batteries part of the structural design of the aircraft. And as a result, they got drones, quadcopter drones. They're quite heavy, they're quite large comparatively to a Phantom, for instance, but they can fly an hour and a half or up to 2 hours without needing to be recharged. So if you think of scenarios where first responders or police forces or fire departments would use these drones, you can keep them up in the air for quite some time and much, much longer than, let's say, the regular 20 or 30 minutes battery life that you get on other drones. So in that sense, it's very interesting. San Pablo, they're going to get three drones of this kind for their police department. And one thing I want to add is that a while ago I read about Spencer Gore that his end goal is possibly not so much to become a player in the drone industry and compete with companies like Skydio or DJI, but apparently their end goal is to launch an air taxi service. So imagine autonomously flying aircraft that would transport people from, let's say, A to B or from home to work along commuter distances. So apparently his end goal is something different than the drone industry itself. But to start out with these drones, of course, is a way to get the experience, develop the product, develop the battery technology, and yeah, learn from there.
I think it's actually really interesting that they're trying to go for urban mobility when they have a pretty solid drone design, in my opinion. In fact, once I went into the further article that you wrote a while ago about, you know, battery first manufacturing, it's really interesting that they have a payload with the FLIR Duo Pro R. This payload could actually be very useful for some public safety agencies. In addition, it could be extremely useful for those doing solar inspections, because whenever you're doing a 2 to 5 megawatt solar site, it's so much flying. I mean, you can go through 10 or 12 TB55 batteries on an M210, and like, this could actually like solve a lot of those problems. This is exciting.
Keep in mind, though, that these batteries are not replaceable or interchangeable. So once you use up all the battery time for one drone, if you need to keep on flying, you need to have a second drone. And I don't recall exactly how expensive these guys are, but batteries are expensive. And I know that these drones are quite expensive as well.
They definitely are quite expensive. Yeah. And moving on to, well, before we move on, you bring up a good point. Do they sell you two drones at once? Or if you, let's say you run out of battery power, it's probably going to take 45 minutes to an hour minimum to charge. So what do they recommend that you do? Do they sell you a package of two of these drones?
If they're smart, if I were them, I would recommend you buy two or more.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's probably, it's a good point. And it's probably why the San Pablo Police Department is not getting one of these drones, but they're getting three of these drones. And in a way, it makes it more expensive because these drones are expensive to begin with. And if you need to be able to, let's say, cover a crime scene or an active scene, and you need to be able to keep that drone in the air, you are going to need more than one. And these guys bought three of them. You may wonder if three is even enough in some circumstances. And of course, if you have a regular DJI drone, you can simply replace the battery. So let's say you would need two drones and a set of batteries to basically keep one drone in the air at all times. In this case, you need three of these drones. You might be able to charge the first one again to get that back in the air once the third one runs out of battery power. So maybe with three, you can keep flying indefinitely if you're able to charge them quickly enough. I don't know. But yeah, you probably need more than one for sure.
I wonder if three hits that magical cycle rate where you can be flying constantly, essentially, while one's charging, one's flying, one's charging, one's flying. So that would be really, really interesting. In this next piece of drone news, it looks like some people are a little bit fearful of a Peeping Tom drone, even though the wide-angle lenses can see through windows. What do you have, Haya?
This is yet another example of people in the town council getting nervous, and they're trying to push through an ordinance that prevents or restricts people from flying drones. And there's two big concerns. One is window peeping, and the other one is flying over other people's property. This time it's Prairie Village in Kansas. They're trying to push through an ordinance that's going to restrict the use of drones. The interesting thing here is that it's not geared towards commercial drone pilots. So if you're flying commercially, you're fine. If you're flying recreationally, however, it's going to be a lot harder. And if you break these rules, and I'll go through them in a minute, you can face, well, first of all, it's labeled a Class C misdemeanor, and it's punishable by a $500 fine or even a month in jail, which sounds pretty scary to me, I guess. They have a number of new rules. First of all, you cannot fly your drone with near people without their consent or in a way that could possibly hurt somebody. You're not allowed to fly over an event with more than 100 people. You can't fly over property, basically. You cannot use your drones for surveillance. You cannot fly under the influence of drugs or alcohol. You cannot fly a drone that's equipped and possibly to be used as a weapon. And you're not allowed to fly your drone reckless or carelessly. Now, the thing is that as far as privacy is concerned, we already have privacy legislation and laws to prevent people from being a peeping Thomas. So you don't need new rules for that. The fact that a drone is a flying camera doesn't really change any of those rules. Furthermore, flying over people's property. I mean, as soon as you're airborne, you're in the FAA's territory and not in the territory of a town. So yeah, a town can prevent you from launching a drone and landing a drone. They can make that part illegal. But once you're airborne, they have no say over you. So it's going to be interesting. It's yet another example. Not too long ago, we had Fort Wayne City trying to do the same thing. Now it's Prairie Village. We'll see how far they go. But I don't think this would hold up in court. And secondly, how are they going to prove who flew the drone, whether it was over somebody's property, and if it in fact was window peeping? I mean, those are things that are hard to prove to begin with. So I don't think this is going to go anywhere. But it's yet another example of towns trying to restrict the use of recreational drones.
Yeah, which is made very clear by the FAA memorandum of what local municipalities, counties, and cities can do, because the FAA is the sole regulatory body of the airspace. In fact, I just want to bring up really quick the Drone You Advocacy Kit. If you're a drone pilot and you're dealing with this, dealing with one of these issues, or you're trying to work with regulators, I would really recommend downloading this kit, Haya, because it's got all the pertinent information for any regulatory body to be aware of. For example, in the advocacy kit, it's got the state and local regulation of unmanned aircraft systems fact sheet, what they can do, what they can't do. Also included in this is the Singer versus Newton decision, where another small town tried to regulate the airspace and got shut down in federal court, kind of embarrassing the town counselor or whoever the lawyer is for the town. But if you guys, you know, if you're dealing with any local ordinances like the one that Haya is talking about, check out droneadvocacykit.com, download the PDF. It's a great resource if you ever want to cordially talk with someone like a city councilor. I'm guessing in this case it's city council. We've got to represent our industry here, but we also have to represent our industry with integrity and respect. Respect is something that's earned, so you got to give respect to get respect. And I think it's so important that when you are reaching out to these people, just ask them if you can send them this, or if you could help, have a meeting with them and help explain the existing laws that are on the books that do protect people already, so that way they are aware of it. Because I think if, you know, drone pilots stand up for our right to fly, which we have a lot in all honesty, and a lot of that is in thanks to Vic Moss. So with that said, we got to stand up, and you've got to be an advocate. If you want to be an advocate, just go to droneadvocacykit.com and download one. Well, Haya, hopefully this won't go through. I can imagine if the right people are speaking to city council or in those city council meetings, that this could very quickly be overturned, as it is clear as day in federal law what the city can and cannot do. And they cannot do most of these things.
Yeah, I think it was a good thing you brought up that advocacy kit. I mean, I think for the drone industry, it's important that we reach out to people who fly locally and who are able to actually go and meet with people on these town boards or city councils. Of course, you have industry bodies that try to do the same thing on a larger level, but it's hard to be able to get out to all these towns throughout the US and try to fight these smaller cases. So to equip our listeners and our readers with information as to how to approach this and how to deal with situations like this, I think is a great idea. So I would be very much in favor and in support of this.
Couldn't agree more, Haya. Couldn't agree more. Is that going to do it for this week's drone news?
I think so. I think we pretty much went through all the highlights of this week. We'll be back next week with another show and fresh news for everybody here.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I love doing these new shows. I know everyone else loves watching them as well. In fact, they're some of our most downloaded shows. But hi, I just want to say thank you again for coming on the show, giving us this great information, and being a stalwart advocate of the drone industry.
My pleasure as always, Paul. Thank you.
And everyone, that's going to do it for us today. If you like the show, please share it with a friend or leave us a review. You can even subscribe on YouTube or iTunes, wherever you listen to the show, to get these shows downloaded automatically. Again, thank you for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And we'll see you in next week's episode of Drone News.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.